Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back, folks. Just a reminder, if you live or work in Gonzales, meet up with me tomorrow when I broadcast live from the grand opening of Gonzales Primary Care Plus on North Burnside Avenue. It's exciting news for the community, and we'd love to see you at the ribbon-cutting ceremony there. You can stop by, say hello to myself, Dr. Brent Wallace, and the crew at the new Primary Care Plus in Gonzales on North Burnside Avenue. That's tomorrow from 10 to 1 p.m. and here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Folks, we are joined by Greg Rusevich, past chair of the New Orleans Crime Coalition, and he's the current chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, to talk to us about an exciting launch of the Recreation for Youth partnership with the University of New Orleans. Greg, welcome to the show.
Great. Good. Great to be with you again, Neil.
It's always a pleasure, Greg. So tell us about this exciting partnership that you guys are just launching.
Well, thank you, Neil. You know, so Laura Canizero-Rodrigue really started this. She's really the project visionary and has had such an incredible impact. I think she's really driven by youth and recreation and just an incredible civic leader. And Laura reached out to the NOLA Coalition a couple of months ago and said, look, obviously NORD is not providing the sort of youth opportunity that we need it to provide. Some programs and playgrounds work, many don't. We need to scale this, and we need to make sure that youth have an opportunity. And then the NOLA Coalition responded, in fact, that, you know, we've raised over $10 million for youth programming, and we have a dual program, as you know, Newell, that really supports both law enforcement and the use of technology for law enforcement, and then we connect that with providing opportunities for youth. And so over $10 million has been raised on the latter point. And so NOLA Coalition went to work, and certain leaders in the NOLA Coalition and the business community stepped in, and Laura and the team reached out to the governor's office and said, look, this is a tremendous opportunity at UNO. UNO needs the support and TLC right now from the community. And it's a way to help youth. Let's launch a recreational program at UNO. But we need some funding for it. The governor stepped up, and Kyle Rucker took a personal interest, the governor's chief of staff, along with Senator Henry, Cameron Henry. And so we put that together in funding to go to UNO. And then UNO, for the next year, Newell, is going to have first-class programs on a wide variety, tennis, basketball, baseball, football, swimming, everything under one roof. And the funds are going to be used to enhance some of those facilities and to launch programming. And the great thing about the UNO model, Newell, is that they're bringing in community partners like 18th Ward and Boys Club and Girls Club, even perhaps Youth Empowerment Project and others, to like launch, you know, mentoring and recreational programs at UNO. So it should be really exciting. We're excited about it. So about $2 million that's going into the program, combination of facilities and programming. And we project it's going to help 5,000 to 7,000 youth that would not have had an opportunity to have these opportunities over the next 12 months.
That is really exciting, Greg. I've had Laura Cannizzaro-Rodriguez on the show many times talking about this. Obviously, she's very excited about it. She's fully in on this issue, trying to improve NORD and the, you know, and make sure that they have the resources. But, you know, in so doing, there's so many things that reveal itself as some the frailty of the organization, in some cases, lack of leadership, lack of commitment, that it takes these private-public partnerships to come to the forefront in order to deliver these services, right?
Absolutely, Newell. And, you know, the strange thing about it, you would think that the right direction here for NORD and any other recreational program that runs well is to welcome community partners that want to come in and run programming in various parks. It just makes all the sense in the world to have that public-private model. Now, in this case with UNO, we have even three parties to it. We have public, we have private through the business and civic community, and we have higher ed. So it's a very unique model. But with NORD, you know, there's just no reason going forward, Newell, that we can't devise a model that was, of course, envisioned post-Katrina and which worked for many years. And you remember NORD in the 80s and 90s was a first-class program. We're simply trying to get NORD back to that excellence, and we think the way to do that, likely through the next mayor and council, is through some form of enhancing relationships with community partners that do this. 18th Ward is top-notch. They help thousands and thousands of kids. They have great fiscal responsibility and oversight. You know, it's a limited-cost program that gets incredible impact. So partners such as that that can go into playgrounds and run the programming, I think, is an absolute essential.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of disheartening. I talked about it in my monologue today. We have lifeguards right now that, you know, that are manning the NORD pools, and they can't get a check.
We see this all through city governance, and, you know, it just absolutely is intolerable. And as we saw leading into the Super Bowl, with the proper leadership and the proper rallying of that leadership and the proper oversight and the proper management technique, simple management 101 techniques, weekly meetings, holding people accountable, having hands-on oversight, ensuring, having metrics to measure the performance, all of these issues that are quite simplistic that, of course, Michael Hett, that Super Bowls are found, are very doable. And you have people that want to, you know, get in there and do the job. They just need to be motivated, and you need to put the right techniques in place, and they can be done. So it's really unacceptable that lifeguards are not being paid. And by the way, last year, Newell, we had money raised from the business community ready to pay for lifeguards. And we offered that in May of last year. And what ended up happening by end of July, we started asking, well, do you need the money or not? Because they hadn't hired the number of lifeguards they said they would have. And they said, yeah, send us the money. And it was early August. And we said, well, the summer's over with. So this is the type of incompetence that you're dealing with. And it's just unacceptable. It's not fair to the youth of this community. It's not fair to the parents in this community. And it's certainly not fair to the taxpayers. So the next mayor really has to address this and take the good parts of NORD and then couple those with the excellence in community partnerships and make sure that the playgrounds are in first-rate condition. There's no excuse with the funding that NORD is receiving right now from taxpayers that those playgrounds are not in first-rate condition and that they're not working with community partners. So we hope this UNO model will serve as a platform as an example for what can be done and what will be done going forward.
And let me thank you. I mean, a lot of people don't know all of the folks, yourself and so many others, that really give a damn each and every day. They care about the city. They go the extra mile. You know, they raise money. They put their money where their mouth is. They give up of their time. I mean, you're busy. You got plenty of things to do, but you're always there, you know, on any particular issue. And, you know, and we talk about this all the time. Sometimes, I don't know about you, Greg, but I almost feel like I feel ashamed of myself, you know, that we're talking about an issue of paying a lifeguard. You know, it took 3 months to get him paid last time, maybe a little longer than 3 months. And here we are again experiencing the same thing, knowing that we're putting all of these pieces in parts. And then, you know, for the city to turn down the offer by 18th Ward, who have been absolutely phenomenal in providing so many services for the youth in our city, you know, a not-for-profit that just develops the next series of young leaders in our community, and to not accept their offer to take on more. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I don't know. It's just so many mixed emotions. I don't know what you're feeling, but
no,
I mean,
I agree.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, I so much agree. But, you know, we have such a wonderful, unique community, you know, that's weaved together with such special respect for one another. And we really require and need and must demand a city government that exemplifies that. You know, I'm sure you've done the same thing. When you mention to someone in Houston or someone in Nashville or someone in Tampa or Charleston, and they ask, so what do you do? And you go in and say, well, I do business, and this is what I do in my business work, and this is the world, and this is what I do in my civic world. They sort of stop and say, wait, why are you? What are you doing on civic? And you start, you know, demonstrating that, well, you're helping the recreational program, or you're helping get certain things through the city council, or you're doing this or doing that. And they look at you like, why are you doing that? You know, you're paying taxes. Why aren't the leadership, why isn't leadership doing that, city leadership and government doing that, and the bureaucracy doing that? And they just look at you very perplexed. But, you know, there are just many people that came back after Katrina in the business and civic community that just love this place and just insist that it work. And it's just not going to stop, I think, until we find the right combination of city leadership and that will hire the right people, that will demand excellence, and that will perform the work that must be done. I mean, it's just not fair to the citizens, and it's particularly not fair to the ones at the lower end of the spectrum that really need the help, that are looking to for assistance, you know, and for just programs to send their kids and assistance. There's no reason for that not to be done in an absolutely excellent manner. And we shouldn't be accepting mediocrity. We should always seek excellence. So anyway, thank you for that comment, Newell.
But you see cities that are working. You interact with folks that understand how this works. And it's interesting that you say that they look at you perplexed and they say, well, what's the city administration doing?
That's right. That's right. And then, you and I have communicated when I've been international and I've walked in different areas and it's clean and safe. And I've texted you and said, why can't we make the French Quarter like this? You know, I'm taking pictures of where I am internationally. Oh. And it's the same thing. It's like, why can't we have a French Quarter that's a crown jewel and safe and clean? We're getting there thanks to the efforts that started with the Super Bowl effort leading into it. We still have a long way to go. But it just doesn't make sense of why we're caught in this tailspin. And there's no reason for it, because the business and civic community and the neighborhood leadership is just excellent. I mean, and there's no other business and civic leadership and neighborhood leadership that I would put this leadership up to anyone in the United States. It's better, it works harder, it does more for the community, and we need city government leaders to follow suit.
Yeah. Just got an interesting text. You know, they said, I bet a single elected official in Orleans Parish has not had to wait 3 months for a paycheck. Maybe we shouldn't pay the mayor till the lifeguards are paid.
I mean, that's an excellent way to look at it.
I mean, maybe that's one way we ought to figure this out. I mean, you know, it's like these young kids, welcome to the workforce, but guess what? You may not get paid.
Right, exactly. What kind of model does that set for them, and what type of example does it set for them?
And one other thing, Newell, on this, there's a strange dynamic with that whole point you just made about not paying the government officials, not paying the lifeguards. You know, it's interesting because there's also this strange dynamic here where it's almost as if in New Orleans, the government leaders seem to think that the people work for them and not the other way around. And I can tell you in other communities and other cities and even other parishes here, there's a very different approach. And you saw it in Jefferson Parish, where Jefferson Parish is quite clear that Jefferson Parish leaders know that, and they're very appreciative of the community. They work for the community. They acknowledge they work for the community. They acknowledge the taxpaying base. But in New Orleans, there's something peculiar where government leaders feel like we work for them. The people don't work for the political leadership. It's the other way around. And I think that is something that really needs to start hitting home and get in the drinking water or something, Newell, because it doesn't seem to be taking effect.
No, I think you're right, and I think people are frustrated by it, and I think that's why the mayor's, you know, favorable rating is at 27%. It's because they recognize that they're entitled to something else that they're not getting. And I think they've had enough.
No, I think they have had enough. And I think that this is a good time. You know, hopefully this is becoming sort of that post-Katrina moment where people are saying enough's enough. Citizens need to take this back. And the government leaders, future political leadership see it and, you know, put the hand out to the people and say, what can we do to make this work? And we're going to make it work. And we want to have partnerships throughout the community to make it work. So, and certainly that can start, Newell can be one of those examples that I think is pretty low-hanging fruit, quite frankly, Newell.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for your work with GNO Inc. and Michael Heck and NOLA Coalition and pulling this together, the Recreation for Youth Partnership with UNO, a $1.95 million public-private initiative, bringing year-round recreation and mentorship to 5,000 to 7,000 youth across the greater New Orleans area. Thank you so much, sir. We truly appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you, Newell. Thank you. Take care.
All right, folks, if you love football, don't miss our special broadcast live from Manning Passing Academy Friday. Join Mike Tatilier and Steve Geller for the Sports Talk live from Thibodeau at Nicholls State University. We'll bring you to the 50-yard line at the premier football camp in America with the first family of football, Archie, Eli, and Cooper. This amazing camp has been helping players reach their full potential on and off the field by embracing the fundamentals of football for key offensive positions, running back, tight end, wide receiver, and, of course, QB. And this year it will feature elite quarterbacks Archie Manning and Garrett Nussmeier. So mark your calendar for Sports Talk Live from Manning Passing Academy Friday, brought to you by the good folks at Thibodeau Regional Health System and WWL. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. Things are very dynamic with the U.S.-Iran-Israel conflict. Brendan Buck, research fellow in foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute, joins us. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning.
So, Brendan, obviously, there's a lot going on. This is incredibly dynamic. This ceasefire, the fragility of same is obviously recognized by everyone, and Trump seems to be very upset, President Trump, that is, relative to the actions of Israel as well as Iran in trying to hold this together. Your thoughts about where we find ourselves today?
Well, I think beneath the surface of bravado amongst all parties, including the president, I think there is a reason to believe that the ceasefire will hold. I mean, it's not in Iran's interest to maintain this war. The longer it goes on, the more that the health of their regime would suffer. But also for Israel, the same can be said. Israel over the past few days has been running short on its most important asset, which are its Arrow interceptors, the lifeblood of its air defense system. So with that in critical, with that shortage, that gives them a impetus to want to seek out some kind of negotiation while saving face, being able to point at a series of tactical successes over the past 12 days or so.
When we look at the context of this ceasefire, there are those that are trying to bring in other conflicts separate and apart from this one. Obviously, what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in Lebanon, as two examples, Syria to a lesser extent. What do you think happens as it relates to, and I don't want to call them sideshows, but it is kind of to this ceasefire that's going on with this conflict. How does this kind of really muck a lot of this up, or how do you think this will be dealt with?
Well, I mean, I think President Trump certainly has a desire to put a freeze on this and to isolate those particular aspects of the larger crisis in the Middle East. He's shown the ability to do that vis-a-vis Yemen, right? If you recall, earlier in the year, he started bombing the Houthis, and then fairly quickly realized that it wasn't in America's interest to continue to do so. And then he had no problems bucking the desire of Benjamin Netanyahu at that time. So Trump has been able he's shown at times the ability to prioritize and to work against our allies in the region. So I think we should take the president at his word right now and just believe that the U.S. is going to prioritize just putting a freeze on this particular conflict before it tries to reassess Gaza or Lebanon.
How much do you think the U.N. will try to interject themselves? Because they were one of the first to talk about all of these other, in the wider conflict that's going on in the Middle East, of bringing all of these factors to the forefront. What role do you think they will play, and will the President Trump allow them to kind of step into this foray?
Probably fairly little. I mean, if if I had to venture an educated guess, you know, the United States has long been Israel's source of air cover at the United Nations. You know, there's not much of a, you know, within the larger conservative movement in the United States, but certainly within Trump's base, there's not exactly a whole lot of appetite for involvement of organizations like the UN whenever it might interfere with American interests in the world. So I don't foresee that as being a avenue in the short term for either Gaza or Lebanon or even this particular war.
Is there the possibility of this, in your thought about the proxies, whether that be Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis? The Houthis are now saying that the ceasefire deal doesn't include them.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, okay. I mean, is there an issue there that may reveal itself?
Well, I think if you're talking about Hamas or Hezbollah, I mean, they were pretty well rocked over the past, you know, 18 months or so. And I think Iran is going to prioritize its own rebuilding and security. So I imagine there's probably going to be a maintenance of the status quo vis-a-vis those two organizations. And the Houthis have shown an incredible ability to withstand punishment, either by, you know, U.S. air power or the Saudis, you know, also with our backing. So I imagine the president's probably going to deal with the Houthis in a ad hoc way, trying to prioritize American interests first over those of Israel. He's shown that in the past. So I don't foresee any change in that particular relationship.
There's a lot of people trying to put a label one way or the another on the Trump foreign policy. I get the sense it's very much personal to him. It's very fluid, and that this thing will not hold unless he's personally involved day in and day out, minute by minute. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I mean, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt over this past week, and if not longer, about there being a fracture within the party, but also within the administration vis-a-vis foreign policy, and depending upon one person's particular viewpoint, they either play that up or play that down. And I certainly do think that there is. I mean, we saw that even within this crisis, folks like J.D. Vance cautioning restraint, Hegseth at the Times doing the same. So it is syncretic to the president. But you know, there are levers there. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of being deeply in line with the Gulf states, but that is a counterbalancing force to the goals of Israel. So perhaps the president can reengage with them and maybe use them as an intermediary to try to get back to some pre-war status quo, or at least try to put things on ice. I mean, we saw that just with Qatar and yesterday's largely symbolic attack. Right, most of that was dealt out behind the scenes and it was all theatrical. But it's because the United States and President Trump had those relationships that he was able to build that off ramp for himself and then thankfully take it.
Brendan, you've been following this for a long time. Is it fair to characterize the Middle East as being the most complex region in the world?
Well, West or Central Africa might give that a certain running.
A run for their money,
title.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's not covered much by mainstream media, right, and what's going on in West and Central Africa. In fact, there was just, I think, another ceasefire or a peace accord reached by the Trump administration between the Democratic Republic of Congo and I forgot the other country now. Just it was announced the other day, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Middle East complexities are just more visible to us. I mean, the Middle East as a region has been far more important in the United States since the end of World War II. And so, you know, a lot of these fights between the Shia and the Sunni and the Gulf states and Iran and Israel in the mix, these things are just on our newspaper front page almost every day, just because the U.S. seems to be just utterly entangled in the region, and also between, you know, two different sets of interests, those being Israel and then those being the Arab states, with Iran being something of a spoiler. But you know, it might get even more complex. I mean, one of the concerns about this from people like myself is that if Iran, you know, is taken down a few pegs, or if the regime collapses in the coming years, Turkey might wind up filling the vacuum and trying to be a rival power to a ascendant Israel. So it can get even more complicated than it currently is. So
the president, not long on patience. The complexities of this of reaching a permanent deal here. I got to imagine in his mind that the timeline is not very long. But usually these types of situations, they may go on too long, especially for his, the term of his patience.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, he also has some counter, right? At least as far as like military aid to allies go, right? If the president is serious about preparing for a pivot to Asia, this long-awaited pivot to Asia that people in my business keep talking about, he's going to have to think about that. Giving a continued blank check to the state of Israel vis-a-vis its ambitions and its security interests, particularly against Iran. I mean, that's going to have to be balanced against Taiwan, and also, of course, continuing to aid Ukraine. So his time horizons are probably also being impeded upon by those other considerations. So,
in thinking about that, have you been surprised by the lack of public appearance or support publicly for Iran from Russia, China, or even North Korea for that?
Russia, not so much. I think Russia has its hands full right now in eastern Ukraine. I mean, they're slowly winning the war, but only by incredibly poor rates of attrition. So, I wasn't that surprised by Russia, by China a little. Maybe perhaps China was still going to kind of wait and see. You got to figure if you're a cynical outside power, whenever you have a nominal ally being attacked, there are one or two things you can do. You can either build them up right away and make sure that they don't fall, or you can try to suck your opponent into a quagmire and then bleed them dry, right? I mean, this is what we did to the Soviets in Afghanistan, what the Iranians tried to do to us, frankly, in Iraq. So, the crisis was over fairly quick. So, I mean, perhaps the PRC was going to sit around and wait before it made a decision. But I think we'll have a better idea of where China stands on Iran in the coming weeks and months.
How allegedly, and I say that all parties now have. Are you convinced that all parties have now agreed that there is in fact a ceasefire?
Well, as you say, this thing has been moving quick. I haven't checked the news since this morning, and it seemed like things have finally simmered down. So, I think it'll hold in the short term. I think, as I said, I think despite the bravado on the surface, I think all parties have an interest in keeping this thing not tamped down.
Now, I know that Iran has been pretty much communicating through third parties. One would think that that's going to have to change in the very near future, right? And what would you think the next steps would be?
Well, I mean, I don't foresee the United States. I mean, I think in the short term, the United States is still going to interface with Taiwan through third parties. I think it's the fact that the United States just bombed them, and what would be considered in any other era as an act of war might put a little bit of a kibosh on the possibility of bilateral relations between the United States and Iran. So I think it's really difficult to see how the Trump administration is going to get itself back on any kind of diplomatic track. It's going to take a while, and it's going to take intermediaries like Qatar.
Yeah, interesting. Final thoughts?
Oof. Just pray for peace, man. That's all I got.
Yeah. No, I mean, this thing is so fluid still, right? I mean, it's fragile.
It's fragile, and there's just kind of layers of subterfuge. You're not really sure if the president knew that Israel was going to attack, when he knew, there were dueling messages coming in and out of the White House and in different segments of the administration. So it's tough to tell whether this was an act of coercive diplomacy on the part of the Trump administration, or if Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis acted on their own, and then he followed them in only to defuse the situation through, you know, this limited strike, and then the largely symbolic strike from Iran. It's, as they say, it's going to take the historians to sort this one out.
May I ask one more question?
Sure.
I'm kind of curious. How hard will it be for this president to hold our own folks together, not only within his party, but Democrats as well? This is quite an achievement to get to this ceasefire. Obviously, what happens next is even more important. But we seem to be fractured here. It's almost as if some don't want others to succeed too much, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things in which it really is going to come down to the president. There was a surprising lack of opposition on Capitol Hill when all of this went down. There was a bipartisan effort to get a War Powers Amendment up for a vote, but in terms of like people going on the record and condemning this one way or the other, or even just talking about issuing calm or asking for a slowdown, those folks were relatively minor. And in both parties, there's been a fairly strong support for the state of Israel and the status quo between the two countries. So if there is going to be some kind of long-term, I don't want to say peace, but if just a ending of hostilities, it's probably going to have to come from the president, from the top down, because he's going to face opposition in both parties.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but
I should also say that, though, as well. But he'll also have support, too. And so if the president is able to present this as a bipartisan thing, he could probably do that.
I've been a little mystified as to the approach that mainstream media has taken on this issue. And it's going to be interesting to see where in the coming days they end up on this ceasefire. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, both Israel and Iran have had pretty impressive lockdowns on the flow of information, pretty tight censorship. So it's difficult, watching the corporate press to get any sense of what's actually going on in the war. And it seems pretty clear that legacy media like Fox News was fairly strong in support of American involvement, and more, new media podcast types online, the online media environment were much more skeptical. And that was indicative of a generational divide that we've seen in the country, but also within the conservative movement in the United States. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes forward if the generations turn over, if there's going to be some substantive change vis-a-vis American public opinion on Middle Eastern policy.
Yeah, I was always a little confused about how they interpreted intelligence, thinking that intelligence was going to provide a smoking gun, like a definitive answer one way or another, especially when we're talking about intent. And,
right.
And the line of questioning along those lines is like, what are you, what? I was a former law enforcement agent. I was an elected sheriff. I mean, we conducted interviews and things of that nature. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And pieces of information together.
Guy,
so you know.
Right. So, I'm a former IC guy. So, and I was.
So you're yelling at the TV like I am then.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I saw something this morning in the Washington Post that said that, basically, like, all sides are right in terms of what they were saying about the intelligence. Like, Tulsi Gabbard, the head of the DNI, her first testimony was correct. Like, the U.S. government had assessed that Iran had not initiated a weaponization program, but they had also enriched uranium up to a capacity far beyond civilian purposes. So they could, in theory, have sprinted to a bomb, and, like, this was the thing that got Israel, in line to strike. But then again, they were planning this thing apparently for about 4 to 5 months. So was there really like a smoking gun they were trying to stop? It's really murky. And ultimately, intelligence just comes on. I mean, politicians can just pick whatever intelligence they want, right? I mean, this is a,
sure.
This is unfortunately.
But it's almost like there's this expectation that Iran was going to issue a policy paper disseminated right. amongst the minions, you know, of that theocracy, saying, on this date at this time, we have decided that we are going to approach, you know, and develop nuclear weapons from this day forward.
Right.
And
right.
it's like, if you don't have that document, then you don't really truly have it. Well, I don't know that any country deals with policy decisions that way, right?
And you know, if you look back to history, the U.S. didn't find out that the Russians had the bomb until they had sensed things in the atmosphere. But this is an argument for diplomacy. This is an argument for staying in the JCPOA. Sure. Basically, just saying that there would have been inspectors, there would have been people who are in effect intelligence gathering people, right?
Right.
But since we pulled out, those eyes and those ears were somewhat lost.
Yeah, to a certain extent, for sure.
Yeah.
Brandon Buck, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate the time, the insight, the conversation. Research Fellow in Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist, the economic implications of the U.S. getting involved in this Iranian conflict. We'll talk about where the market is, where oil is, where we anticipate the economy going and what it means internationally as well. This is a very fluid situation, as we just talked to Brandon Buck, very fragile. But I like the approach thus far that President Trump has taken. I like the fact that he called out both parties and trying to make sure that we don't misstep from the very beginning here. And it's going to be interesting to see what the proxies do of Iran. And I suspect if anything happens, this whole thing ends up blowing up again. And I think that that is part of the concerns. And we'll continue to report out exactly what is happening, because it is breaking every day. Stay tuned to WWL for the latest on the conflict in the Middle East. Every hour on the hour, get updates from CBS News as the story unfolds. And Tommy, myself, and Scoot will continue to provide in-depth discussions, expert guests, and place to share your opinion. Stay informed with your news talk and sports leader, WWLAMFM.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.